You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles Earth and the Next Society and their thrilling live album, Live Earth. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. In these chaotic times marked by war and economic depression, Earth and the Next Society are a band with an uplifting message, one about changing your life and changing the world. Yes, it is a message reminiscent of music from the 60s and 70s, and guess what? The sound is also reminiscent of that critical era in rock and roll. We've never showcased a live album on Rockwired before, and thanks to Earth and the Next Society, there's a first time for everything with their live album, Live Earth. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Michael Shields of Earth and the Next Society, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From their CD, Live Earth, here is Earth and the Next Society with Golden Age.
Now it's the time to
From their CD Live Earth, that was Earth and the Next Society with Golden Age. Visit the band at their official website, www.earthandthenextsociety.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Michael Shields of Earth and the Next Society, and here's how the interview went.
Well, it's a great CD that the band has out now, and now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
I really actually feel really good about it. It's kind of been a process of going through, you know, a lot of material and sort of deciding whether or not the live format that this album is about really suited the material. And, you know, it's the exchange of energy between the audience and us that I think that really makes a lot of this material happen. So, you know, that was sort of the catalyst behind the original concept. But, you know, finding the right tracks, you know, to put on the album was really what it's about. But we feel pretty good about it. We feel really strongly about the album itself.
And have there been any reactions to it that have surprised you?
Yeah, actually, there have been. You know, I can tell you initially that, and I don't think that there's any mystery to the fact that the influence, you know, really comes from kind of a classic rock background. So in some sense, you know, we looked at each other and thought, well, you know, is this going to be a fairly narrow bandwidth of interest out there that's actually going to like this? Because there really doesn't seem to be that many people playing music, at least new music, that, you know, kind of fits the same motif of what we're doing presently. And really, we've gotten a lot of response from young people, and actually of all ages. You know, we started getting involved in you know, internet and social networking, and you know, you'd sort of investigate it, particularly in the early stages. You'd look to see, well, you know, who are the people that are really dialing into what we're doing? And sort of the initial expectation would be that they'd fall within a certain demographic of people that might already be sort of into a classic rock thing, but the reality is that it's pretty broad-based. So, you know, I guess you, as an artist, you never really know what somebody else's perception of what you're doing is going to be, but the biggest surprise for us is that it's been a very broad audience, which is very, very welcome, because, you know, the message that we're trying to convey in the music is obviously universal rather than being, you know, for a particular set of people.
Right, and I mean, you guys are releasing this album at a very interesting time, or yeah, times, I should say. So how have the times, like, shaped, you know, the music that you made for this album?
Well, a lot. You know, we really have felt that the message in the music is very much about the shift in consciousness, all the things that are happening within humanity and society presently, and a voice for the people. I mean, this music, by and large, is not about an artist singing about their personal experiences of, you know, of being a musician or being a person or living as an individual on this planet within the social constructs that exist, but rather the music is about the listener. It's designed really to touch that point within the listener that, that sort of tickles the senses about the fact that, you know, things are changing right now, and, you know, I have to be a part of that. I really have to play my part in wherever humanity is going. So, you know, the reality is that the music is really designed to be the voice of the people rather than be the voice of an individual artist.
And talk about the genesis of this band. How did it start?
I guess there are probably several things about it that might be unique in some sense, but maybe not an uncommon story in others. You know, I've been playing music for a long time and have had a number of iterations of bands. I had much of my earlier career was in the 80s, and in the very early 80s, I had a band called The Comets, and the bass player that I enlisted at that time is actually the same bass player I'm working with now, Harry Burns. And periodically over the course of the last 30 years, we have connected and reconnected on various projects. We were in a couple of other bands together. And that was really a foundation for me. was reaching out to somebody that I had been working with for a long time. And then, you know, finding the other pieces was kind of a process of you know, getting a sense of what the music needed in terms of influence. And, you know, finding Tom McMillian, who plays the keys, was really unique because there are very few people that actually do what he does, meaning that they are pretty much wed to the B3 as their instrument rather than having, you know, sort of a an affinity for a wide array of synths or whatever the case may be. I mean, he uses all of those tools, but primarily, you know, his home base is a B3 with Leslie's and so forth, which is, you know, something that, if you really look at it in context, you know, goes back to the 60s and 70s as sort of a staple in Coliseum rock and many of the acts of that genre. But as you move forward, you see less and less of it. So if you go out looking for people that specifically play that as what they do, that art form is something that's really, for lack of a better term, kind of dying, because there are very few people that play that instrument. They might emulate it or do other things to try to approximate it, but they don't actually play it. And, you know, so that was a huge thing. We kind of felt like that was really the sound and texture that we needed underneath, you know, the guitar sound, which is, you know, obviously a big part of what the band is about, but it was really a perfect marriage to bring that instrument in. We've had, on the side of the drums, we've had a number of drummers working with us during the course of all of this, and that wasn't necessarily by design, just more by circumstance than anything else. And we've settled now on Ryan Baker, and you know, he's just a great drummer in terms of his background. You know, he's done a wide array of things, so for him to kind of get a feel for what we were doing and where we were going was very natural. So there's not much there that you would look at and say is contrived. It's you know, it came together very naturally in that regard. So, you know, a lot of it has just sort of been through an osmosis, and to build the character that exists within much of the sound that's in the band. Obviously, you know, I'm kind of the catalyst as the writer and singer and guitarist, but all of the other parts are really integral and key to creating the sound that actually supports that in a way that sounds natural. It doesn't sound like, well, you know, I'm going to go record an album and, you know, and sort of hopscotch between a variety of different things to sort of, in a pedestrian way, support each one of these songs for what I think they need, but rather there's an overall band sound that has kind of emerged, and some of the songs have been reincarnated in this process. There were earlier iterations of these songs that I had done that really don't sound that much like what's on the album now, but, you know, I've gone through that metamorphosis.
Visit the band at their official website, www.earthandthenextsociety.com. From their CD, Live Earth, here is Earth and the Next Society, once again with The Art of Believing. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Rockwired.com is pleased to present the Rockwired May Artist of the Month, Mass Chemistry and their electrifying self-titled debut CD. In an age where rock and roll has been kicked aside, Mass Chemistry kicks back with vicious guitar licks and instantly memorable arrangements. For anyone who believes that rock and roll ain't what it used to be, give this band a spin. With tracks such as You Know, Everything, and Shadows, this is a debut not to be missed. Mass Chemistry and their self-titled debut CD, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at masschemistry.com. Put a little Rockwired on ya. Rockwired.com has just relaunched its merchandise page filled with t-shirts, long-sleeved shirts, hoodies, mugs, and caps. Trust me, nothing looks better on the human body than clothing that shows your support of online radio that rocks. All shirts and jackets are available in all sizes and brought to you by Cafe Press. Visit our store at rockwired.com/merchandise.html. All major credit cards are accepted. Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music with your host, Brian Lush. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Earth and the Next Society and their live CD, Live Earth. Rockwired had a chance to catch up with Michael Shields of Earth and the Next Society regarding the band's live CD and their mission. Here's how the rest of the interview went.
And talk about how music began for you. How did that start?
I probably not unlike a lot of other people that are guitarists. I discovered guitar at a fairly early age, 7, 8, somewhere in that range, and started playing. And that would go back to the 60s, so I'm dating myself now. In the late 60s, there were a lot of, you know, these emerging guitar gods, if you will, you know, so people like, Hendrix and Eric Clapton, and of course, you know, I'd already sort of experienced the songwriting magic of things like the Beatles and so forth. And then, you know, in my early teens in the 70s, I'm a lot more appreciative of this now. There was a lot of music that was very influential to me with regard to just various factions. At an early age, like 11 and 12, I discovered bands like Humble Pie, Deep Purple and things of this nature, kind of dovetailing with things that I had come out of in the late 60s. But people like Elton John and a variety of other things influenced me as well. So I was very much into the guitar thing early, and probably throughout the 70s, I played mostly music that sort of conveyed my affinity for guitar. And, you know, people like Peter Frampton were a huge influence on me with that guitar playing, and Jeff Beck, and many, many others. I mean, I could probably go on all day talking about all of these people and groups like Led Zeppelin and things of this nature. But in the late 70s, as I began to approach some level of maturity in terms of playing music in various bands at that age, things started shifting in the music business, and you know, sort of a new wave of things started happening with
right.
punk rock and all of that. And I happened to be in the UK at the time, going to school. So you know, I was exposed to in the late 70s a lot of very serious extremes in music. I mean, in one moment it was the Sex and the Clash, Sex Pistols and the Clash, and other bands of this nature, and then you know. On this side of the world, it was still a lot of Coliseum rock, and but it was becoming much more corporate. You know, it was almost untouchable in terms of being able to reach out and be that at that age. I mean, you couldn't do that from, you know, from your home, your garage, whatever. You really couldn't achieve that very easily, and it seemed very far-fetched to have those kinds of expectations. So by the time I put a serious band together, which was the Comets, and that's where I first encountered Harry Burns. I mentioned that earlier. I was doing British power pop, so it was a lot less focus on guitar, a lot more focus on energy, a lot more focus on songwriting, a lot more focus on the imagery and the ideas and the concepts that really define the 80s. So I became an artist of the 80s, I guess, for lack of a better term. And that really happened with a whole series of various groups that I had during that era. By the end of the 80s, I had a postmodern band called The Method, you know, that sort of really kind of represented kind of the end of what that era was about, musically, socially, and probably there was a lot of psychology of what I was doing in the music at that time that really amplified that. But when that was over, I really got away from the whole concept of recording and playing music in the manner that really was defined by the conventional star-making machinery that defines the music business. In fact, I saw that as being rather contrived, so I started getting into a lot of different things. My wife, which I had met around that time, was a ballet dancer, and it exposed me to a lot of other art forms. And I had met a few other people that were world-renowned painters and this and things of this nature. So I really kind of started to branch out into areas that I didn't have a lot of exposure to in the arts. So I started doing soundscapes, film soundtrack, a whole variety of other things without a lot of purposeful intent of having that music out there performed and, you know, created as a commodity to sell, but really just for the purpose of expression, performance art, and some of those kinds of things. So from a lot of people's perspective, I disappeared off the radar for a long, long time because of that, because I never really felt like I could redefine myself in terms of working my way back into a musical paradigm that lent itself to creating an actual body of work that I would record, put on disc, and put out there. Until, you know, in recent years, I started performing again and doing it rather informally, and that's sort of what evolved into this now. So, as you can see, there's a huge gap there from, like, the early 90s to now, where much of what I did was totally unconventional. I mean, I did record some solo stuff that I ultimately didn't release, but I did some television stuff, you know, some soundtrack for television pilots and small film work and things of that nature, but it was just a totally different experience, really. So then when I got back into music now, I kind of sort of went full cycle, went all the way back to the things that really influenced me in the early days and sort of reinvented myself to play the music that actually inspired me to do it in the first place, which I really had not done that much of since I was in my teens. I think that has a lot to do with why this music seems pretty honest and doesn't feel or seem to me comparatively that I'm playing through any type of a shell or or anything that would be sort of a predefined, you know, kind of a contrived or concept, or, you know, in much of what I came from in the 80s, you know, was all about being part of a scene, or, you know, part of a whatever the evolving scene was at the time, you know, whether you had a haircut a certain way, you sounded a certain way, changed every six months or so with a new sound, new look. Now I just completely divorced myself from all of that and just do what feels natural, and I think that comes through, because that's the thing that probably makes me happiest about what we're doing with this album now and the music we're playing now, is that we're just playing what we feel, and that's what's coming out.
What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this album?
Well, I think initially the purposeful intent is to inspire people to be the change that they want to see in the world. To step out there and realize that, stop waiting for this hierarchy of society, the politicians, the governments, the corporations, the, you know, the sort of the controlling factions of the planet. Stop waiting for them to create the solutions for your life. In fact, they're taking you down the wrong path. I'd like people to come to the realization that there is absolute truth in the fact that they can determine and dictate the reality that they would like to live in, and that they have to create that reality, but they're fully empowered to do so, and that they shouldn't feel as though they're helpless and that they don't have a voice, because the fact is that every action, every moment, every decision they make, whether they go to the store and buy something or whatever they do in their day's time, that's their vote. That's what determines what their reality is going to be tomorrow, not what they do with some ballot box for a politician. That's really an illusion. So what I'd like people to come away with is the realization that they are the future, not the system, not the politicians, not the governments, not any of the things that they see on the nightly news, but rather that they define it. They need to create it, and then they need to take responsibility for that and make that change happen.
Visit the band at their official website, www.earthandthenextsociety.com. From their CD Live Earth, here is Earth and the Next Society once again with What Will You Do? That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Michael Shields of Earth and the Next Society and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.
Passing out in our street clothes. Now the hard times are made.